So first, I just want to follow up. He's not here today, but Eric had asked me when we were speaking about tiltul min hatzad and partial tiltul, and he asked me a question about what is done with mesim on Shabbos in terms of closing their eyes. So it's a Mishnah on Daf Kufnan Aleph, Amud Aleph, that says that with mesim, one is not allowed to move any of the Evarim of a mace. One takes care of other needs in terms of Madichanoso, Sachin, Madichanoso. The Mishnah says, Uvachli Yazis Boever. You're not allowed to move any of the Evarim of the mace. So the next Mishnah, Kufnun Aleph Amud Beis, says explicitly, Ein Ma'atzminis a mace b'Shabbos. That along these lines, you're not allowed to close the eyes of the mace on Shabbos. So somehow, he may have had, some experience where he's seen people do things with a mace. I wasn't exactly sure where the question was coming from. But there is a Zohar that is quoted actually by the Mesoras HaShas, and Kufnun Aleph Amud Beis, that learns in the Pasuk of Yosef Yoshis Yodo Alei Nechah, that it's there's an inyan, generally speaking, of closing the eyes of a mace after a mace dies, kadesh lo yu'eina pesuchos, that the eyes not be open because there's some sakana bedover. The Zohar indicates that there's some sort of a sakana. So it's interesting because on the one hand, the Mishnah says ein ma'atzmin es ha'mase b'Shabbos, and we indicated any kind of total is problematic with respect to a mace, and on the other hand, there's a bar heitev on Simon Shin Yud Aleph, where this halacha is brought in the Shulchan Aruch. I believe that it is Shin Yud Aleph Sif Zayin, and he quotes, I think, from the Madonna Yontif, Shinogim Bekakila Kedosha Krakow, Vishar Kehilos, that the minhag began, I guess, in Krakow, and then also arose in other Kehilos as well. Shemazizin Eber, Shalo Yisakim, that they do actually move the Eber on Shabbos. I guess that's what he's talking about, Hilva Shabbos. Shemazizin Eber, Shalo Yisakim, so they not get twisted out of joint. Umatzimin, and they do close the eyes. Be'omim Sheish Sakana Bedaber, because there's a great Sakana. Kidisa Vizara Lapasa, Be'yosef Yoshis Yadol Leinecha, Ve'in Limchos. And one should not be Melchi, quotes from somebody along these lines. So I don't know what to make of that. I have not seen it when I just did a perusal of some of the later Sfarim on treating Mason on Shabbos, Dine Avedos, something like Gesher Achayim. Gesher Achayim has a chiddush about one can take off the clothes because it's only tiltul min hatzad. Even though the mace is going to move, you can take off the clothes. And this is not necessarily adopted by others. The question as to whether is it a mutter kind of tiltul min hatzad, is it an asur kind of tiltul min hatzad? We said tiltul min hatzad is mutter tzorach davar mutter. But even the Gesher Achayim doesn't go so far as to say that you would be allowed to close the eyes of a mace because of the sakana. It's sort of interesting. It seems to be a halacha psuka now we're in Talmud Bavli, and to override that halacha psuka based on the sense of a sakana that is brought down in a Zohar raises the question as to what degree we allow the Zohar to override a halacha psuka in our Gemara. So that's just an interesting footnote. Maybe he's seen something that, I don't know, that caused the question, but I just figured I would look into it, and I did find that bar haitev, so I figured just as a mara makom, I would point it out so that further research could be conducted. But there is such a shita out there based on the Zohar. Okay, so the Gemara in Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph talks about Elisha Ba'al Kenafayim. Amar Rabbi Yonah, Tefillin Tzrichin Gifin Guf Naki. Tefillin require a clean body. Because Tefillin have tremendous Kedusha, so when one wears Tefillin, one has to be able to conduct himself with that Kedusha. Elisha Ba'al Kenafayim, like this person known as Elisha, who was the person who had wings. Elisha, the man of wings. Mahi, who is this Elisha, the man of wings? So the whole idea is, why do you need a gufnaki? So that you have to, what's the point that the Gemara is making? A gufnaki, meaning that one should not pass gas. Baba mashlayishan ven. Rabbi says that a person could, usually it's easy enough for anybody to control himself not to pass gas for a limited period of time, but what we see from Elisha, who is so medactic in his tefillin, is that you shouldn't sleep, because if you sleep, certainly over the period of time in which you're going to sleep, there's more of a chance that something impure or something like passing gas will occur. But my kari le bach nafayim, why do they call him the man of wings? Shepar machas gazu machas zomi rishik zeo yisol. There was appears the shas shmat that they would go there. The Roman government was goes to shlomi nefili nakvis mocho. They would blind his eyes. They would pound the person's skull. And Rashi learns that it's a lashon of nikor einayim, that they would blind his eyes. So Elisha manicha. Elisha, however, worried. He took his chances. Yotzei l'shuk, and he went out to the marketplace. Ro kaster echa. There was an official who saw him. Rots mifonim, rots achor. They ran after each other. Vekivin shigia etzlo. Elisha ran away, but the officer was chasing Elisha. Vekivin shigia etzlo. Natla meirosha v'aksam biyados. Then Elisha took it off from his head. Amalo, maaseh biyadcha. So the officer said, "Hey, what are you holding here? You figured maybe he had tefillin." Amalo, kanfeyona. I have the wings of a dog. So pashi does yodo. And what do you know? Vimsu kanfeyona. There was a nace that was performed for this Elisha. Lefika koinos Elisha bar kanafayim. Therefore, they called him Elisha bar kanafayim. And the reason why the tefillin turned in miraculously into the wings of a dove, the Gemara explains, is because kinesi siswal is compared to me. It's compared to a yona. The reason is because just like the wings of a yona protect the yona, so too when it comes to klal yisrael, the mitzvah that if a form of klal yisrael protect klal yisrael. And Tosfos says a further explanation that when a yona has a broken wing, it's able to fly with the other wing, and so too with respect to klal yisrael, presumably even when it's down, it's able to sustain itself with whatever it has left, the sklios, the mitzvos, and so forth. So this Gemara raises a couple of interesting questions. First of all, what is it about Elisha that made him such a paradigm for keeping a goof naki? So there are a couple of different explanations of that. It could be that just like we know that the Gemara says that Esther was piercing Nida when she got very frightened. So in a time of fright, that could also cause one to become unclean. So we see he was meticulous in terms of taking off his tefillin at this point in time. So that could be one explanation of a goof naki. Another explanation, Tosfos says, is, well, he must have been very zayir in terms of keeping a goof naki, that he was zocheh for an ace to be performed, for a miracle to be performed. So we see that from this story that he must have observed the mitzvah in terms of keeping it with a tremendous kedusha. So the question is asked, why is it that he had the right to actually take it off and to make up the story about them turning into Kanfiyona and having this nace performed for him? Why wasn't he just moser himself lemisa in the sense of admitting that it was tefillin? You're not in the Shas Hashmad, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that even al mitzvah shiva mitzvos, even if it's not the big three, Kidu Yarai Shvichus Damim and Avodah Zarah, one is supposed to, even our Arkasa de Masana, even if we're asked to change the color of the straps of our shoes, if there's such a minhag yisrael, because of the Shas Hashmad, we're asked to not follow the minhag yisrael, certainly a mitzvah min ha-mitzvos, then there would be an inyan of Yerek v'yavur. So why didn't Elisha have an obligation of admitting that these were in fact tefillin under the circumstances, rather than acquiescing to the notion of not wearing tefillin by saying that there was something else and that he wouldn't necessarily have tefillin on his head? So there are different answers that are given. The Ramban, also quoted favorably by the Rashbam and the Ran, articulates a general proposition about the chi of limsor asma kedusha sashem, where he says that's only for mitzvos losaseh. Where you're going to actively violate an aveira, you're going to be mechalel Shabbos. So then one has to be most himself with shas shashmat. But if it's a mitzvah sesi, just be mevatzel matel mitzvah sesi. So al korko, they could put you in a jail anyway and stop you from keeping your mitzvah sesi. They'll put you in a jail and stop you from shaking a lulav. So there's nothing you could do anyway. So therefore, for mitzvah sesi, one doesn't have an obligation, even under a shas shashmat circumstances, to give up his life. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes this Shita in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah Perikei Halacha Aleph and finds difficulty with it because the Midrashim, the Sefer Yikra Rabba, where there were different Chachamim who were proudly proclaiming how they were being put to death because they were insistent upon keeping the mitzvah of lulav even during the Shas Hashmad, where we see that even a mitzvah tesei was considered to be meritorious and appropriate for one to give himself up al kedushas Hashem. So the Knesset Mishnah gives a different teretz, which is also found in the Chiddush Ritva on our daf, which is that the mitzvah tefillin can be properly performed and fulfilled if one wears a tefillin just for a brief period during the day. You wear it during Kriya Shema, during Om Malchus Shemaim, during Tefillah, during Shemoneh Esrei. But beyond that, there's Amidas Chasidus to wear tefillin the entire day. But it's not strictly mandatory to wear tefillin the entire day, since it's not strictly mandatory. So that's the reason why it wasn't even in the gedder a mitzvah min a mitzvah. He was already mekayim the mitzvah, the Ritva Zaloshan. He was already mekayim Om Malchus Shemayim together with the tefillin, and therefore it wasn't mandatory for him to continue to wear it. It wasn't in the realm of the mitzvah anymore. I mean, the implication from that it would seem to be that even if one would have to give him be most of himself a mitzvah shem mitzvah, he wouldn't have to amidas chasidus. That's a question. Akasot Masana sounds like it would be at the very least in the same category as wearing tefillin for the rest of the day. So I don't know that the Knesset Mishnah explicitly addresses that point, but that's the explanation. That's the answer that's given by the Knesset Mishnah. The Sfas Emes explains in his Chidushim on this same Gemara is quoted again in Daf Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph in Rabbi Eliezer Demila. It talks about every mitzvah that B'nai Yisrael or most of themselves over. So that's still mekuyim, that's still clear, that's still very carefully observed by the Hamonam nowadays. And a mitzvah that the people were not most of themselves over so much, then that is refuyim, that was not kept by the Hamonam so well. And an example of a mitzvah that the people were not most of themselves over, the example given is tefillin. And Tosos even says in the Bisman Balei Tosos in the Tibor Maskil Kalisha, Tosos says that we see that people are not so nizer nowadays with respect to wearing tefillin, and Tosos is very bothered by that because the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says Poshi Yisrael Begufan Karkaftid L'Mon Tefillin, one of the worst statuses in terms of fate of Olam Haba is somebody who's a kakapta, who's a skull on which tefillin was never placed. So how can you justify the fact that what's going to be the fate of all these people who don't wear tefillin? And Tosa says, well, it could be that maybe that's only referring to people who are doing a machmas merit as opposed to that they're doing it based on laziness. That maybe the full brunt of the punishment only applies to people who are not wearing tefillin based on rebellious spirit. But it seems that even the days of Tosfos observed that it was a mitzvah that wasn't really so perfectly observed. So the Gemara brings us this proof text of Daf Kuf Lamed, Elisha Baal Knafayim, and Rashi says, what's the proof text of Elisha Baal Knafayim? Looks like he was most of himself. You know, at least he put it on, even though he knew that he might get into trouble when they would see him wearing the tefillin. So Rashi says, because Elisha was clearly an exceptional example, he was the only one who was doing it. Otherwise, we wouldn't say Elisha Baal Knafayim. We would say, like everybody, that Elisha Baal Knafayim was the only one who was being most of himself. Nobody else was being most of himself. So this shows that it wasn't a mitzvah that people were being most of themselves over. So on that Gemara, the Sfas Emes asks the same question with respect to what was sort of the justification of taking it off. And he quotes another Gemara from Daf Kuf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis that talks about how Rabbi Yoshua was doing all kinds of things that could have provoked people to be suspicious of his behavior. He went to visit a matronisa for some political purposes, a certain woman's home, and as he went into the woman's home, he took off his tefillin before he entered into the woman's home. And it turned out that all of his talmidim, they were watching the whole thing, and they this is the old thing. This is the way newspaper editors used to be like. This is ideal newspaper editors. They looked at everything. They were done everything. The cops closed. So they everything they assumed was all, you know, for the best, and everything was for the purest possible intentions. He said, so what did you think when I took off the tefillin? So they said, well, when you took off the tefillin, so we just assumed that you had the svarah, you constituted a kedusha by makom tuma, that matters of kedusha should not enter into a makom tuma. And that's why you took it off. And he said, yeah, 100%. That's why he took it off. Sesvasema says it could be that that's why Elisha was taking it off. He wasn't violating the mitzvah at all. It wasn't appropriate for him to wear tefillin at that time, not because he would get killed, but because of the fact that he was about to enter into a close, intimate interaction with a kastor, with a Roman officer. So the Roman officer was no better than this Matronisa, described in the Kaf Zayin and Mubeis. He was a representation and manifestation of contamination, of tumah. And for that reason, it was appropriate to me, Ikara did, to take off tefillin. That one is not supposed to wear tefillin under circumstances of tumah. So that's as far as Amos's answer. And then Tosfos gives an answer that it wasn't the reason why there was no inyan of Yerek Val Yavor B'Shas HaShmad in this particular circumstance is because it wouldn't be Nicker, meaning that it wouldn't necessarily, that there are many people who walk around and and don't wear tefillin. He says, "Habi Yisrael, shenam tefillin kemosa." There are a lot of people who walk around without tefillin on their head. This is similar to the answer given by the Kesef Mishnah and the Ritva. The mitzvah was already fulfilled, but he's saying that it's not just a question that maybe wearing tefillin the rest of the day is a midas chasidus. It's just it's not what people do. The Akas are the shoe straps, so all Yisraelim wear a certain type of shoe straps when it comes to tefillin. So it's not like everybody sits around all day wearing tefillin. So because we're wearing tefillin, this is considered to be a very high level of spiritual devotion. However, it's not what was practiced by the Rov Ha'am, and therefore that's the reason, since it wasn't Nicker, that's why it didn't present some sort of abrogation of fulfillment of mitzvos in order to save his life. So I want to pick up on this last teretz, the teretz that's given by Tosfos, because that's relevant to the next thing I wanted to focus upon for today, and that is what are the nafkaminas, what are the halakha lemaisa ramifications of this notion that tefillin tzricha guf naki, that one is supposed to make sure that they wear tefillin in an atmosphere of nikiyas, of kedusha, where there is not going to be any kind of violation of the kedusha through emissions of gas or other types of non-kedusha emissions that could come out of the come from the body. So Rashi even writes that when we're worried about gufnaki, so Rashi writes that. The reason why you're not supposed to, the Gemara says that you shouldn't sleep with the tefillin. Rabbi says shlo yishem behem, that you shouldn't sleep with the tefillin. And there's a question about whether this is in contradiction to the Gemara in Sukkah daf chavav, which says that there seems to indicate that under certain circumstances, at least the shena sarai would be permissible. So some say yeah, some mishanim say this Gemara is basra, and it supersedes the Gemara in Sukkah, and even a shena sarai means like less than a minute. Where Shana Sarai would not be permissible in tefillin. We're worried that things will happen with the body, even with respect to a Shana Sarai. So Tosfos Rashi says that we're worried that Shema Yafia, maybe he'll pass gas, or Yira Keri, or maybe he'll be Roa Keri. So most of the other Rishonim, I think Tosfos over here has this. Let me double check if it's in Tosfos, but many of the Rishonim say that there isn't really a problem of somebody who's a Baal Keri wearing tefillin. We don't go so far. If somebody's a Baal Keri, it's okay for them to wear tefillin. We just would be considered to be a Bizayon if you had somebody who went to sleep with his tefillin and he would have his wife in the bed and he would forget that he's wearing tefillin and have relations with his wife. So that would be problematic. However, the fact that somebody is a Baal Keri alone, that is not problematic. Yeah, that's Tosfos, Dibro Amaskil, Shelo Yishan Behem, where Tosfos draws that distinction. Mishum Keri Lobay Lemeser. So that far, we don't say it's a problem of Gufnaki. If somebody is a Baal Keri, say that they didn't go to Mikveh in the morning and they're a Baal Keri, so that would not be a problem that would prevent them from wearing tefillin. However, in terms of the halakha shel yishan bahen, so this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch that both Shenas Arai and Shenas Keva are prohibited with respect to wearing tefillin. However, if the notion that was brought in the Gemara Sukkah of having sort of like a bidyevid circumstance where a very brief Shena Sarai would be permissible. Somebody got very little sleep the previous night, and they're davening in the morning, they're davening Vasikin, davening, I don't know, Shavuos morning, and they just can't, Shavuos morning, you're not wearing tefillin, but they're davening Vasikin after, you know, some all-nighter that they pull, and they just can't contain themselves, so they can lean over al birkov on their knees, and they can cover their tefillin with a cloth, and as long as they maintain this position for a very short period of time, of essentially 50 seconds, you know, less than a minute, something like that. So with that combination of the circumstances, so the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Mem Beis accepts that based on the Gemara and Sukkah, that type of Shena Sarai could be potentially permissible. However, since it's very difficult for people to measure, you know, this period of time and to have a Shena that lasts only that short, so that is generally not something which is so applicable, halacha lamaseh. But what is more applicable, halacha lamaseh, in terms of the notion of not sleeping in tefillin, is what's brought down in Siman Lamed in Shulchan Aruch, is that even though we paskin halacha lamaseh, that the laila zman tefillin, that tefillin is not only restricted in terms of the kiyum of mitzvah to the daytime. You could be mekayim the mitzvah during the nighttime as well, but that we don't wear tefillin. The reason why we don't wear tefillin during the nighttime is because of the fact, Shema Yisha, that you might fall asleep, and once you fall asleep, so then you might pass gas and all of these other things. So therefore, that's one practical application, that you can't wear tefillin during the nighttime for this reason. So the relevant nafkamina with respect to what Tosfos said, that people often don't have tefillin on, is that even when people might, under normal circumstances, wear tefillin during davening, the halacha is that Choli Meyayim are Peturim Mitfillin. Choli Meyayim are not allowed to wear tefillin. If somebody has a very bad stomach condition and they're constantly passing gas, so then they're not allowed to wear tefillin. In fact, this presents, you know, the problem. Let's say somebody had such a condition and in the morning they had to dive in without the tefillin on. So because Tosfos points out, oh, yeah, Dibur Masdo Kelisha, that it could be that the notion of... Tosfos quotes the Kakapta de Lamanach Beit Tefillin. So the notion of Kakapta de Lamanach Beit Tefillin, many of the Rishonim say, is not lav davka, a notion that during your lifetime you get into trouble if you never wore tefillin, but otherwise you're okay. It could be that if a day passes and you didn't wear tefillin, that's also considered to be Kakapta de Lamanach Beit Tefillin. So if a person can find a window of 2 minutes that they think they'll be able to sustain themselves and they'll be able to not have any kind of stomach problems, even if it's later in the day, they should make sure to put on tefillin at least for a minute or so to be in the union of wearing tefillin every single day. And ideally they would say Kriya Shema so that they could be made, you know, on the psukim to talk about Tanachas tefillin and Kriya Shema together with wearing their tefillin, but at the very least, it's important that somebody put on tefillin for a brief period of time. But otherwise, call them Ayayim, up to him in a tefillin. So the Minchas Yitzchak in his tshuva, where is the tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak, Eilaches Nun Zayin, brings this as a sniff to explain the practice which is condemned by the Mishnah Brura regarding wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed, in a place where not wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed, where there's where it's a makom, where some people are wearing tefillin and some people are not wearing tefillin. So the Mishnah Berurah says that it's inappropriate to have a makom where some people, because we have a machlokes mechaber and mamon. Mechaber says that you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, it's an os, and therefore you don't need the os of tefillin. However, the Ramah says, no, you do wear tefillin during Chol HaMoed, so you have this machlokas mechaber and Ramah, and it doesn't only break down between Sephardim and Ashkenazim, it breaks down between different communities. There's a Zohar, that many people feel that even if they're an Ashkenazi, they follow the Zohar, not to wear tefillin during Chol HaMoed. So there were congregations which either everyone wore tefillin or everyone didn't wear tefillin, but there were some congregations where you had some people wearing and some people not wearing, like here in America, in Chol HaMoed, that's my symbol, Chol Yom. So Mishnah Berurah says that's very bad because it's lo sisko to do, that you have some following one practice and some following the other practice. So a lot of the Achronim talk, the later Achronim talk about why we allow it, why it's not a problem of lo sisko to do. But Moshe talks about it, others talk about it. So one of the explanations given as to why it's lo sisko to do is offered by the Minchas Yitzchak because the fact that somebody's not wearing tefillin doesn't mean that Peshitta is going against the psak of those who are wearing tefillin. It could be Zachol HaMeayim. It could be that, he says, especially on Yantin, people have big meals. Or if it's on Sukkot, so they have to change the place where they normally live, and people get sick, you know, if they change their veset, they change their normal course of eating, their diet. So in every single one of the Yom Tovim, he finds some sort of a reason why there's some sort of a shinoi, and people might be more likely than they might the rest of the year. So you have to explain why is it the rest of the year they don't have stomach aches, and now they do have stomach aches. So he explains that there's always a shinoi veset with respect to every single one of the Chol HaMoed Sukkot and Chol HaMoed Pesach. Going into different places, or they're eating different diets, and therefore, it could very well be that just like Tosfos writes over here, that the fact that Elisha wouldn't have been wearing tefillin wouldn't show that he was not following the mitzvah. Lots of people don't wear tefillin, so too, even with respect to davening time, when people normally wear tefillin, there's the possibility that somebody might have a chol ha'me'ayim, and that's another tzad to argue that there wouldn't be a problem of losis go to do if people are following different practices on chol ha'moed. And another nafka mina, which is what the halacha is, I think it's Simon Lamed Zayin, talked about who are the people, Lamed Ches, Simon Lamed Ches, who are the people, Lamed Ches Siv Gimel, who are the people who are peturim from wearing tefillin. So the Rechabe says, Noshim are peturim from tefillin because it's a mitzvah zeseh shehaz man grama. Now, normally speaking, We generally follow Rabbeinu Tam, that if a woman wants to volunteer a mitzvah seseh shezman goma, she can, and she can even make a bracha. That's the practice of the Ashkenazim. However, in this particular case, even the Rama says, Hanashim rotzim ma'achmi ol atzman, if a woman wants to be ma'achmi on herself and wear tefillin, and she wants to be mekayim this mitzvah seseh shezman goma, mokim biyodon. We don't allow, this is one case, but we would not allow the woman to volunteer in this mitzvah seseh shezman goma. This might be a question of how you understand different girsos in the Gemara and Erev in Daf Tzadi Bav, which talks about Michal wearing tefillin, and there's of course the different girsos as to whether lo michu biyadam or michu biyadam. Our Gemara seems to say michu biyadam, seems to say lo michu biyadam, Tosfos quotes michu biyadam, and the explanation that Tosfos gives is basically that when it comes to tefillin, you need a guf naki, and you can't. A woman can't have the assurance of being able to keep a guf naki. And it's lav dafka. One way to understand it is the way that it's presented. The way the Mishnah Berurah presents it is that mipnei shetzrichin guf naki, but nashim ain't zrizos lehizayim. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Yud Gimel and Siman Lamechas says women are not zrizos lehizayim. And that's so since you require a Gufnaki, that's why they can't volunteer this. This is independent of the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel that everybody knows on the Pasuk Al Yivashish, Isha Simlas Geber, that a woman can't wear a Simlas Geber, and he says that's talking about the Halas and Tefillin. So even if you don't hold like that Targum Yonasan, there's still this problem of Gufnaki. So Rav Moshe points this out, but Moshe Feinstein, when he has a tshuva on women volunteering mitzvahs that they're not obligated in Orachayim Chelet Dalet Simen Memtes, talks about the women's movement, and he says, well, it all depends on their level of sincerity, but he says that even if they're sincere, one thing that they can't volunteer is mitzvah tefillin, because mitzvah tefillin requires a gufnaki, and even when it comes to men, this is really the explanation as to why bisman hazeh, the ruba d'inchi, are not mekayim this notion of wearing tefillin all day long. The reason is because tefillin tzrichin gufnaki. The tefillin requires tefillin gufnaki galisha ba'al kanafayim. We don't trust ourselves that we'll be able to preserve and maintain that state of gufnaki the entire day. And that's the reason why we only wear tefillin for the minimum amount of time. But basically, omach l'shemayim tefillah, when we daven in the morning, so that's when we wear tefillin. We don't even wear tefillin when we daven mincha. We just wear tefillin once a day. So we have a full davening that includes the kriya shema, where we're able to be made edus on the wearing of the tefillin, on tefillah, and then we take it off. Even if we add an extra segment to the davening, we add musaf. So we take it off before musaf, because we don't even go further. You could argue Rosh Chodesh, what's so bad? You leave the tefillin on a little bit longer. So the reason we don't leave it on a little bit longer is because we know that it has to be maintained, the gufnaki, and therefore we don't wear it beyond the shas of Yom. So this is another way of explaining why it is that women are not permitted to volunteer, though the Sefer Chinuch had indicated they were, but we generally assume, like the Ramah, that they're not. And another way of understanding this is based on this principle, that just like men don't wear it more than the measure of time that they're absolutely obligated to wear it, so women are never obligated to wear it, and that's the reason why the women don't wear tefillin at all. All right, very good. We'll stop here.